All right, I'm going to read our passage for this morning, and it is Matthew 7, 1 through 6, and I'm going to be a minute before I get there because I didn't bring my study guide up. Matthew 7, 1 through 6, judging others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take this speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This is the word of the Lord. Anne.
Thank you. I had so much fun at service day. I was in Karina's group, and Ann Carpenter, who's so creative and does all those bracelets, she was showing us how to make bracelets, and I'm the least creative person. So I was making bracelets with her help. Christina comes in, she goes, "So how did Ann do?" And Ann says, "Well, she did her best." I would have gotten a participation ribbon for my kids. So I'm just saying, it was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of grace given. Okay, judge not. This verse is one of the most quoted verses in Scripture, and it's also one of the most misquoted verses in Scripture. So today we're going to look at what Jesus is saying and what he is not saying. In today's world, tolerance has become such a higher value than God's truth. People throw this verse around saying, "See, you can't judge my life. My truth is my truth. Your truth is your truth. No one can ever evaluate my choices. No matter what I do, I don't want anybody judging me." Okay, is this what Jesus is saying? When we look up the word judge, it has a range of meanings. It means to evaluate, to discern, make a decision. What does he not mean? He is not saying, do not be discerning, do not think clearly. Scripture is always telling us to be discerning in matters of truth. This is why we so have to know God's word. Later on, Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. So you're making a judgment on who's speaking truth and who isn't. He also says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him. Well, you're discerning about when somebody is hurting you. What's the difference? And this has been drilled into us over and over and over, the Sermon on the Mount. It's not just about our actions. It's much more personal. It's a righteousness that goes deep into our hearts and our motivations. He is really addressing our relationships and our hearts in those relationships. I will say, in studying this, I've been studying this for like the past month, it has made me very uncomfortable and very convicted. So my prayer is that you all become uncomfortable today. Uncomfortable because Jesus is helping us look into our own hearts to see why we condemn others, why we are critical. When we judge, what is my motivation? My question is, what is your motivation? So before we really get into it, I want you to honestly think, who is one person or a couple that you are judgmental of? Be honest with yourself. You don't have to share it out loud. You don't have to even write it down. But I think if we're really honest with ourselves, that helps to have an example in our head as we go through this process. When is it judging, and what do we look like when we're judging? That's what we look like. Let's just say it's not pretty. But we are to be discerning in areas of truth. We can call sin, sin, for the sole purpose of helping someone else, hopefully to be redemptive in their life, in our relationship with that person. So we're going to talk later what that looks like. But I think it's safe to say our judging is more likely not always redemptive and helpful. When I was about 5, I was with my dad and my brother David. David is 4 years older than I am, and I had a very fun relationship with my dad, and we teased a lot. So I said a bad word, thinking my dad would think it was funny. I was the only girl. I kind of thought I could get away with stuff. He did not think it was funny. And he said, if you say that again, I will wash your mouth out with soap. And I thought, I know you younger moms are going, that's horrible. But that's, in our era, it was like, if you had dirty mouth, you got soap in your mouth. So I thought he was kidding, and my brother was behind him motioning, stop it, don't say it again, you're going to get the soap. Not really my brother, but my brother was speaking from experience. Well, I still thought it was funny. So I ran down the hall going, damn, 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 damn. I could hear my brother yelling behind me, stop it, Annie, you're going to get the soap. And I thought, I'm not going to get the soap. Then I felt someone grab me by the back of my shirt, drag me down the hallway into the bathroom. At this point, David is crying. He goes, oh, no, she's going to get the soap. What? And I did. And I want to say the soap was not some hippie fragrant soap that we have now. I swear it was something car mechanics use. Oh, my gosh. So what had been David trying to do? He was trying to get the speck out of my eye before the soap went in my mouth. His warning was to protect me from harm and judgment. He could have been gloating the whole time saying, ha-ha, she's going to get it. I'm going to look better. I don't swear as much as she does. But he didn't. When we judge others, when we criticize other people, we are like pathetic siblings saying to God, see, I'm better. It's like the prodigal son. Dave just even talked about this. The prodigal son's older brother. But look, I'm better. We have to be honest and admit, often it feels pretty good to judge others. There is something smug and self-satisfying about putting on that black robe and saying, she's guilty. Besides, judging others is the quick and cheap way to feel good about ourselves. When we judge and compare, we boast. Look, God, compared to them, I'm not too bad. I'm more spiritual, I'm a better parent, blah, blah, blah. But that's the problem. God doesn't compare us to each other. He compares us to Jesus. Jesus is our standard. And compared to him, Paul says in Romans, there is no one who does good, not even one. That's where salvation is such a gift. So suppose God simplified matters into one command. He says, for you to be good, for you to be saved, you have to touch the moon. Okay, what do we do? There may be a few who jump 3 or 4 feet, but compared to touching the moon, no one gets close. I may jump 1 inch higher and then brag about it, but I'm nowhere close to the standard. I may be better than half my friends. I'm still nowhere close to the standard. Why do we play this game? Because as long as I'm thinking about your weaknesses, I don't have to think about mine. As long as I'm looking at your puny little jump, then I don't have to be honest about my own. It's the universal ploy of kids. If I can get dad angry at my brother, then I'm not in so much trouble. The easiest way to justify my mistakes is to find worse ones in others. Such scams don't work with God. Do we think by pointing fingers at others, we're going to distract God from judging us? God is kind, but he is not soft. In his kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. Hopefully, we are seeing God calling us to this radical change with the Sermon on the Mount. Over and over and over again, it's about our hearts. We better be changed from the inside out after studying the Sermon on the Mount. How serious is he about our judgmental attitudes? Okay, this verse is scary. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. This should make us uncomfortable. We are going to be judged by how judgmental we are. I just had a vision. I have no idea if this is correct or not. But I thought, what if I went to heaven the same day as a good friend of mine that's less judgmental? So I thought, well, who's less judgmental? Well, it was scary. I came up with so many people that are less judgmental than I am. So I thought, okay, I thought of Sherry Finley. I've never heard Sherry Finley be judgmental of anybody. Say we die the same day. We get to heaven, and there we are at the gates, and God greets us. And we're so excited to just run in and see everybody. And God goes, okay, Sherry, go on in and slow down. I need to talk to you. And I'm like, whoa. He is saying, if you are going to judge other people, God is going to judge you by the same standard. It's not going to be the same for all of us. Do we believe this? Or are we like I was at 5, laughing at my dad, thinking I can charge him out of disciplining me because I know him to be basically merciful? We act like that child running down the hall going, well, I know I'm judgmental, but I'm saved by grace. That's as stupid as me going, damn, 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 down the hallway. But just like my dad, God loves us too much to let us stay entitled. I would not have respected my dad had he let me get away with that. And it's the same way that we need to revere God, because he is just as well as merciful. Yes, God wants to put a holy fear in us to get rid of our critical hearts. The tone of our life will be the tone of our judgment. There is nothing more ungodly than a critical spirit, and nothing more unchristlike than the false righteousness that is always looking for something wrong and something else. And there's nothing more harmful to the church than when Christians are condemning each other. It ruins our witness. So here is one reason, a very strong reason, to avoid a stricter judgment. God wants us to take this seriously. And it's not just for our witness, but it's for our own hearts. There's nothing worse than being caught in the bondage of criticalness. We look like that woman. A second reason is what is at the core of our gospel: the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. We were welcomed into this community of sinners. We are all traveling together as forgiven sinners. We should all be celebrating together God's mercy that we all share. When we judge, it's saying, I don't get the gospel. When we judge, we're saying, I am forgetting how merciful God has been with me. When I judge, I'm not being an extension of God's grace that I've been given. I'm forgetting his picture. Third, we are not only unworthy to judge, we are unqualified. We never know enough about a person to judge him. This says, do not judge. You don't know what storm I've asked her to walk through. We don't know about their past. We don't know what their current struggle is, what hurts they're carrying around, what financial struggle they may be enduring, or just pain from a sad childhood. We make assumptions, never knowing the full picture. Our judgment illuminates our lack of compassion. Not only are we ignorant about yesterday, we are ignorant about tomorrow. Philippians. He who began a good work in you will complete it, and he is doing a good work in everybody else. In our criticalness, we forget that God is not finished with that person. Should we pass a verdict on a painting while the artist still holds the brush? How can you dismiss a soul until God's work is complete? God is not done with that person you're criticizing. And I love this quote from Max Lucado. A stammering shepherd in this generation may be the mighty Moses of the next. Don't call Noah a fool. You may be asking him for a lift. There was a condemned criminal sent to his death by his country. The government showed him no mercy. The people showed him no mercy. To whom did he turn to for forgiveness? He turned to the bloody Jesus on the cross next to him and pleaded, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. We never know God's timetable with other people. Okay, so just to review the whys to stop our role as judge and jury, we will incur a stricter judgment. When we judge, we are forgetting God's grace and mercy in our own lives. We are unqualified because we do not know the struggles that person has endured. And God is not finished with them yet, just like he's not finished with us. So these are the whys, but now I want to talk about how do we do this. I want you to really think about the picture Jesus gives us regarding relationships. I think this is the most exaggerated, almost comical picture. Why does Jesus go to such extremes, about a log and a speck? It's why do we have like a redwood tree coming out of our eye, and the person we want to confront is supposed to look like a speck? Yes, there are times to help others remove the speck, and we're going to talk about that. But Jesus says, get the log out of your own eye first. There is so much in this metaphor. I just think it's so much fun to look at it. First, when you have anything in your eye, it distorts your vision. You're unable to see. This is a metaphor for us spiritually. Our own sin destroys our own ability to see. There are so many flaws, anxieties, desires, old wounds, grudges, and they lodge in our soul the way a splinter gets in your eye and distorts your vision. If I'm struggling with some insecurity and somebody else is competent in that area, I may criticize them for something totally unrelated. My husband and I were going through, what are things people say when they're criticizing somebody else, when it's just covering up an insecurity? Well, if you're envious of somebody that dresses really well, well, she's so into her looks. Or somebody has really well-behaved children, well, she's probably a drill sergeant. We can reframe anything to cover up our own insecurities. My husband used to say, whenever we feel that about somebody else, ask the question, why is this a problem for you? And I hate that. Because sometimes I'll be goes, well, why is that a problem for you? And it ends up it's about me. And Jesus was talking to Peter about what was going to happen to Peter. And he goes, well, how about John? And Jesus goes, what is that to you? And I love that. Just I need that picture of Jesus saying, what is this to you, what these other people are doing? I used to think friends that bragged about their parents were kind of strange. Why? I miss mine. The bottom line is I miss mine. There's nothing wrong with somebody else talking about their parents. Our own pain results in judging others. When this happens, what do you need? You need somebody to help you get it out. We do need people to come show us where we are not seeing things correctly. How would you get something out of a friend's eye? Would you use some kitchen tongs? No. You wouldn't even use a pair of tweezers. You would go with something as gentle as tissue. Removing a speck takes all the gentleness and patience and sensitivity you can have. What do you do when somebody comes near your eye? You want to pull away, you want to close your eyes. This is his metaphor. Our hearts are that sensitive. Jesus is using this metaphor to how we tell others about something they are not seeing. So Jesus says to look first at the plank in your own eye. So somebody's walking towards you to help you with their speck, and they have a 2x4 sticking out of their eye. Jesus is talking about people that see others' faults more than their own. Someone with a critical spirit. He is saying when you're looking at others, your sins should look like a plank. You should see your own sins as greater and bigger than other people's sins. Unless you see your sins as larger, you're not going to be humbled enough to help them see theirs. We have no business confronting another until we acknowledge our own pettiness, selfishness, and gratefulness for God's mercy. We then see ourselves as we are and others as they are. Instead of being critical, we weep for ourselves and for them. Our heart's desire is for them to feel God's amazing grace. We don't have condemnation. Hopefully, we have compassion. We don't want to judge, but we want to love them well. But we need to first examine our motives and look at others through eyes that are clear, through eyes that are tender and compassionate. What makes up our planks? Please ask yourself, what motivates a judgmental attitude for you? Ask yourself this in your groups. Is it a feeling of insecurity? Is it a feeling of comparison, being dismissed, not heard, life isn't fair? What is really going on in your heart when you're judging somebody else? When we can recognize our own planks, our sadnesses, then we take those to Jesus to heal. Every time you judge someone, you reveal a part of yourself that needs healing. The healing does not come in criticizing others. I had a great experience with this. A couple years ago, a bunch of us went out of town on a hiking trip. And I was coming home with Terry and another friend, and I was feeling very critical about some of the women on the trip. And my question to Terry and this other friend was, I need help with something. They go, what do you need help with? I go, I am feeling so critical. Basically, I'm saying, would you help me look at the plank in my eye? And I love these two friends because they didn't, okay, my criticism was that these women talked about grandchildren the whole time. And I thought it was kind of boring. And it just went on and on and on. And I thought, this does not warrant me to be this critical. Why am I so critical about this? I go, can you guys help me figure out why I hate this in myself? I was looking and feeling like that ugly woman, like, ooh, I had a prune face, and that was just driving me crazy. And I love these friends. They did not agree with my criticism. They did not join me in my criticism. They said, let's look at your plank. Why is this bothering you so much? It was so freeing. It wasn't that I was jealous because I wasn't a grandma yet, although I am now, as of a week ago. And it came down to, because they spent the time admitting that I had a critical attitude and I needed to look at this plank, that I was sad that two people that I love very much, my daughter and my son-in-law, had been married 10 years and not having kids. And I thought, they don't see a future in their marriage, which just reminded me of the sadness and the failure of their marriage. And that was my sadness. It had nothing to do with the women I was criticizing. It was a sadness that I was experiencing about two people I love very much. And then that's what I take to Jesus to heal me of. It doesn't do any good for me to pray about my friends. That's not the issue. And it helped me so much to deal with that plank and get to the root of what was really needing true healing. But so many times we take that hurt and we just lay it on everyone, and that doesn't ever solve the problem. That doesn't heal what's going on with us. When the woman was caught in adultery and the people wanted to stone her, and Jesus said, he who is without sin, throw the first stone. This is the same thing as get the plank out of your eye. I often wonder, did those people have to go looking for the stones? Or did they carry them around just ready to toss in case the occasion arose? How many of us carry stones of criticism around with us? How many of us are just kind of ready to throw it in case somebody does something or somebody gossips about something? Do you have to go look for your stones, or are they just kind of ready to aim and fire? And my question is, whose names are written on your stones? What themes are written on your stones? Do you have to go hunting for them, or are they right there? What do you judge most? I think this is a good question for our groups. What do your stones say? When we are brutally honest about that, we can look behind the judgment to our own hurt and let God fill those spaces in our hearts. So we're not supposed to judge or condemn one another, but we are called to help others remove the speck. This has to be done with no other motive than to want what is best for that person. We better really have examined our own motives why we're telling somebody about this speck in their eye. Linda Patton, you showing me? Oh, you giving me water? No, I just have a weird voice. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. I can't even see that part. If you want to go take a speck out of somebody's eye and you hesitate because you don't want to hurt their feelings, then it's probably the right thing to do. If you're enjoying taking the speck out of somebody's eye because you want to be superior, it's probably not the right thing to do. Be discerning when you do it. Be prayerful and go with tissue. As much as I thought about this last verse about the pigs did not fit with this, about don't throw pearls before swine, I read a great explanation. First off, the pearl refers to salvation. It even says in this verse, it is sacred. This is about pigs and dogs that eat scraps. Jesus is calling some people pigs and dogs. There's a little bit of judgment there. He's being discerning. And then some of them gives them a pearl to eat. Jesus is saying, we need to be sensitive to God's timing in other people's lives. We cannot hurry God's plan. Some people reject it like the pig did. Have you tried to share the gospel over and over and over again? It doesn't do any good. The pigs cannot digest the pearl. Some people are not ready to hear the good news, and shoving it down their throats makes them mad. When Christina read it, and the pigs even attack, we have to be so discerning. And in studying this week, I thought, how many times people have said, I never heard the gospel? I'm so guilty. I grew up in a church, and I have said that. I never heard that. Well, no, I did hear the gospel. I just wasn't ready to take it in. I need to go back and apologize to my pastor. I'm sure I heard it. But here I wasn't ready till I got to college. People aren't ready. And so many times we put it on other people. We need to be so careful and discerning about where God is working in other people's lives. So the other commentator, I said, this is also true in taking the speck out. You can have your motives great. You can want the best for the person. You can have great insight. And sometimes people are not ready to hear it. And sometimes they will even turn on you. I've always said, gee, they didn't appreciate all my great insights. No, they didn't. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But we need people to help us see the specks. When someone has pointed out an obvious attitude or sin in my life, I am so thankful, and I am also shocked how blind I was to my own things. I always get mascara up on this part of my thing, and I just love it. I love having daughters because they point stuff out too. The men never see anything, you know. And she goes, Mom, you got a little thing. That's all she does. I go, oh, thank you, you know. And I thought, she wants my best. I wish we could kind of be that accepting. You know, there's just a little speck you're not seeing, you know. There's just a little speck. Instead, we get so intimidated and scared. And I appreciate it when somebody points out the specks in my life. So don't assume they know. Don't assume they're intentionally hurting you, intentionally sinning, intentionally just being blind. People do not see so often what they need pointed out. But always start with this for the sake of the relationship and assuming they have no idea. Speck removal is all about two things, love and humility. Love is being for somebody. Thinking how I can help to bring about what is good and right for them. Now, how opposite is this from secretly relishing when something bad goes in their lives? You want what is good and right for them. Love overlooks a person's faults. It gives them a break. And I love this quote from Bonhoeffer about when we're judging other people. We must learn to regard people less in the light of what they do or don't do, and more in the light of what they suffer. And then we also need to come with such humility. Humility is just being honest about ourselves. It's not tearing ourselves down, but just honest about our strengths and limitations. My sweet brother, he did it right. He was suffering because he knew I was going to get punished. He did not need to be the better sibling. He knew there was a judge, and he tried to protect me. He was for me, and it pained him to see me make the wrong choices. So when you are tempted to judge others, focus on love and humility. When somebody comes to me in humility, I'm so much more receptive. And remember all the ways that you sin against God, and look for people in this context. Focus on who God says you are. Focus on your sins and how forgiven you are. Because when we judge others, we do not define them. We define ourselves. When we're not judging others, we are defined by God's love. Dave had a great quote. As I say, I poach from the best people. And I thought, Dave said this on Sunday, that, oh, I'm going to use this. And I love this so much. How can the love of the Father shape how I view others? And I thought, when we're judgmental, we need to look at what's really going on and be redefined by God's love. When we live as we are loved, our planks fall away and our sight becomes clear. So the questions for your groups is, what is behind some of your judgmental attitudes? Be honest. Is there a theme to your criticism? That would be the greatest gift you could take that you could really get in touch with. Just to think, what is really going on when I feel like this? What do your stones say? Do you carry stones around? Has anyone helped you remove a speck? And how did that go? And how can you help to remove a speck from somebody else? Let's pray. Oh, Father, this passage is just so packed full of beautiful truths. Father, I just thank you so much for the Sermon on the Mount. Father, and I just pray that we can just really internalize your love for us, what you've done for us, how much you love us, how much you've forgiven us, and just be extensions of that grace to one another. And Father, those places where we are judgmental, we just want to bring those to you, and we just ask for your healing. And Father, I just pray that we will live as women loved by you, and we just love you so much and for all you've done for us. In your Son's precious name, amen.